Good morning and welcome to ChrisCast number 30. It is the fall of 2020. It is in fact Halloween, and I'm back after a hiatus of confidence. And I'll tell you more about that after the commercial break.
Oh, thank you.
Welcome back to ChrisCast number 30 on 31 October on Halloween. I have been away for a while because right after I published ChrisCast number 29, and my name is Chris Abraham, so welcome. One of my best buddies listened to my whole podcast and gave me notes. And his notes were to be prepared better and to take notes and to put together notes and refer to notes before you do your podcast, because it sounds like I was spending a lot of time basically going, comment dire, how do you say, forget, and let me look it up and ask Google and all that other kind of stuff. But what that does is it makes me not want to do it. So I guess to torture him and torture myself and make everybody feel terrible. Actually, it was more of a problem of being caught in the headlights. I felt like I wasn't doing a good job, but I knew that any more friction than just doing it like I'm doing it this morning would make me not do it, because I have to spend all my other time either working or actively working or actively recovering. So this is supposed to be enjoyable, and I'm going to keep it that way. So today's episode is about the Cold Civil War. Many people might believe that quite possibly a Cold Civil War has existed in America since the Tea Party, but you can't have a civil war unless both sides know that they're participating. So I dare say that the moment that the Cold War really began in America in an earnest way was when Trump was elected. It was not so much a coup d'etat, but it was the equivalent of the Boston Tea Party. And the Boston Tea Party, everybody in the Boston Tea Party circa 2016 wore pussy hats. As we'll recall, all the way back behind and before Black Lives Matter, I think Black Lives Matter version 2, we need to remember all the way back to the Women's March, and how the moment Trump was elected is the moment that I would say that 20% of this country at least put down their, you know, put their staff in the ground and said, not my president, hashtag resist. So the moment the real civil war in our country began was the day that Trump stole the election, and I'm putting those in air quotes, stole the election from the majority, stole the election from the popular vote, took away the democratic process of the will of the people. By the way, America's a republic, a representative democracy, not a straight democracy. But that's just going to get me into cancel culture if I say that. But that was the moment that if 20% or 49% of your entire population refuses to acknowledge legitimacy of the acting president, then you are in fact in some sort of civil disobedience, ergo a cold civil war. There are not people dying in the streets in a real way. I mean, in a narrative way, in a symbolic way, people are dying in the streets, but not in any real way. I mean, statistically speaking, nobody's died ever in a school shooting. Statistically speaking, nobody's ever died in a domestic terrorist attack. And yes, 9/11 did happen. That's up to your own interpretation, but that was a foreign attack. So, with that said, it has been a hot, cold civil war. It has been played out on mainstream media. It has been played out on AM talk radio. It has been played out, obviously, on Twitter and Facebook. It has been played out in message boards and forums, like 4chan, 8chan, 12chan, 16chan, gab.com. It's played out in podcasts, definitely. And as a result, it has been a very, very, very active, everyday civil war. And the and I don't know if this civil war will be able to be fought as a hot civil war. I don't know where the sides will be drawn and who will represent what side. I mean, there isn't a I guess in this case I mean, even my spooky friends and my military friends and so forth believe that this could result in a hot fight, a fight with guns and bullets and explosives and IEDs and we've already seen, Molotov cocktails and the burning of cars and buildings and so forth, but I'm talking about asynchronous warfare. I'm talking about attacks, not unlike what happened in the Revolutionary War. And I know that when I compared the Pussy Riots, if you will, compared the Women's March with the Boston Tea Party, I know I was talking about revolution, but I don't believe. I believe that was a mixed metaphor, so forgive me on that. But I was talking more like a grand gesture, saying that we will not tolerate this anymore, and we hereby reject the premise of your legitimacy. And in that case, it was I believe King George, of Great Britain, of England, but. In this case, where is the definition? I mean, nobody really believes that that Donald Trump is legitimately. We all know that Donald Trump isn't a true believer. We also know that Joe Biden is not a true believer, and neither is Kamala. Harris, she's not a true believer either. So there's no true believers in any of this. It would need to be a people's civil war, and that's never worked out, right? At the end of the day, there are no sides. There are no government sides. We know that that the intelligence agencies have not been a friend to the White House. We know that there's contention all throughout the various branches, and that there are sleeper cells and active defiance happening within the civil amongst the bureaucrats, the the multi-administration Democrats in the government. And I mean, that makes sense, right? Norms and standards are the only thing we have to go by. There are white blood cells, if you will, metaphorically speaking. There are white blood cells in any government organization that's trying to be healthy that does not approve of and does not like disruption, does not like any kind of sickness, does not like any kind of cancer. And as we can very rightly tell, extremism is not tolerated in the American government. It is a very big ship that is designed to turn and accelerate and slow, very slowly. It can't make an L turn. It can't stop on a dime. So one needs to make sure that very early and very often, the ship is avoiding any kind of reefs, any kind of sandbars, any kind of icebergs, if you will. And so a disruptor, a chaos enabler like Trump, who came in because his electorate wanted him to blow up the system, very unhappy with the direction that the system was heading, very unhappy about European style government, very unhappy about a government that rolled not only just rolled its eyes but actively mocked belief systems, referring to grand traditions of Christianity, Islam, and Judaism as being as gifts of the naive as believing in Santa Claus as we approach the holiday season. So no 8-year-old likes finding out that Santa Claus is not real, and no 80-year-old wants to be approaching the end of life with a community of people who are committed to undermining and attempting to destroy, in the name of another cult called science, the viability, the grace, the beauty, the tradition, and even the sweetness of belief, right? It's bad enough to say that people who believe in God have a psychotic break re with reality. It's another thing to say that a belief in a God or a higher power, a belief in Jesus, a belief in Allah, a belief in Muhammad, a belief in Buddha, etc. Any type of belief in an afterlife or a God's grace or a fate or any of these kinds of things, predestiny, are heaven and hell, demons, jinn, all these things are signifiers that you might be a domestic terrorist, right? We can see how Justice Barrett was recently vilified for being part of a church group that has been painted as being extremist or antisocial or even worse, Handmaid's Tale. Like, instead of Justice Barrett being heralded as a role model. So, I don't know all the words. I don't know, words like identity politics or anything like that. So I'll let other people use all the buzzwords. I believe that there are a sizable amount of people who do not acknowledge that do not acknowledge that Trump is our president, and that in a more serious way. Well, by the way, ever since I was 18, and even before when I was 14 or 12, and even 9, before, so I was 9 in 1979. And they were saying then, this is the most important vote. This is the most important election in history. And then in 84, this is the most important election in history. Then in 88, this is the most important election in history. And then 92, and then 96, and then on and on and on. So obviously that's hyperbole. Obviously, I'm not even going to talk about the pandemic. But I just realized from doing just a cursory research that if I look it up here because I didn't take the notes. In 2018, a total of 2,800,000 resident deaths were registered in the United States. So on a regular year, almost 3 million people die as due course. So I would say that to be honest, you know, 500,000 deaths that probably would have happened anyway because the people who had them were mostly dead or you know, not dead, but compromised or dying, you know, is a very impolitic thing to say, but it is the cornerstone issue on both sides, which is to say, on one side of the Cold War, the Cold Civil War, is that if Trump weren't in office, and if Biden, sorry, if Hillary Clinton were in office, then we would have not suffered 250,000 deaths so far from COVID-19. And the other side says, well, we were expecting 2.2, 2.8, 2.5 million deaths. So honestly, 250,000 deaths from people who were most likely suffering from comorbidity and who were on death's door anyway is pretty good, considering it was a global pandemic that shut down the entire world, unlike any other activity ever, might have been overreacting. So there's both sides of this, and I hate to tell y'all that I'm straddling, man. I'm that awful, awful yellow lines in the middle of the street. I'm that awful dead armadillo. Just call me Armadillo from now on. I should have called this, instead of Chris Cast, I'll call it Project Armadillo. Because I'm built like an armadillo. I'm well armored like an armadillo. I'm round like an armadillo. And I waddle like an armadillo. Hey Google, what do armadillos eat?
On the website nationalgeographic.com, they say strong legs and huge front claws are used for digging, and long, sticky tongues for extracting ants and termites from their tunnels. In addition to bugs, armadillos eat small vertebrates, plants, and some fruit, as well as the occasional carrion meal.
Sounds like me. I definitely eat bugs, small vertebrates, vertebrates, plants, and some fruit, as well as the occasional carrion meal. I instead of carrion, I carry out. Anyway, so yeah, so I don't know what's gonna come. I don't know what kind of blows are gonna come. What I do know is that DC and a lot of other cities are preparing for rioting and looting that might happen in the trail of the election. But you know who never does any rioting or looting at all? Have you ever seen any rioting or looting from any Proud Boys or any Nazis or any of these guys? So listen, I don't think that they're Nazis or Proud Boys or anything. I just think that there are conservatives and I think that there are liberals. I think that they're extreme right. I think there's extreme left. But according to Joe Biden, Antifa is just an idea, but it's a very powerful idea that goes all the way back to the 20s and 30s. Seems to magically, you know, they just refer to them as just dumb kids, those straight edge punks, those brats who show up at IMF and World Bank detentes and conferences. They magically appear. They are nothing but the wind. But and even if they are punks, they if there are rabble rousing punks who can catalyze peaceful protests into looting and rioting, then that's more than an idea. Those are people that should be neutralized with extreme prejudice, right? Anybody who catalyzes something that's peaceful into something that's violent should be stomped under a boot on both sides. So I do not think that anybody who transitions something into a riot or looting, I do not believe that that person is that person should not expect to be safe. That person is considered an extreme threat to civility, and as a result, it's pretty normal for a law enforcement body to pursue that person and not just let them get away. Whether it's direct intervention at the point of riot, which hasn't been happening, or it's the result of the panopticon, the growing CCTV network that we have, including, who knows, drones and access to other people's video cameras from resident and business video cameras that are, in fact, 4K these days. You can get some amazing resolution from those kinds of things. Anyway, so I mean, outside of the fact that in the last 6 months, I think over 3 or 4 million guns were sold legally. And the reason why they have those numbers is because I think 3 or 4 million phone calls and background checks were requested from the FBI slash ATF. And so I don't know who bought those guns. My extremely liberal friend Mark tells me that that was just the extreme right buying more guns and ammo. But I know that most of my liberal friends have at least asked me about guns, as I'm a gun owner and have been since 2011 or 2010, 2011, which is not that long, right? People have been using guns their entire life. I was 41 before I got my first firearm. I think it was March 8, 2011, I think. My buddy Mark and I went to a gun shop in Virginia and I bought myself for my birthday in March a Glock 23 40 caliber compact. Don't have it anymore. But anyway, I don't believe that those are another 4 million guns that were purchased just by the same people who already own the. Hey Google, how many guns do Americans own?
On the website WAMU.org, they say the SAS estimates that American civilians own 393 million guns, ranking the US number one in firearms per capita.
So they don't actually say, who has those guns, but almost 400 million guns plus another 3 million or 4 million. If it's a fair fight between, the lefties and the righties, I don't think it'll be a fair fight with regards to firepower. However, if the lefties have the support of state and local, I don't even know anybody. My conservative buddy was in the military forever and tells me that his posse are the people who talk about Q, and his posse are the people who are to the right of Attila the Hun and who keep on repeating the fact that they've made a pledge to the Constitution of the United States of America, and that they will fight against anybody who stands up against or tries to in any way destroy or undermine the US Constitution as they interpret it, right? As they interpret it. Both sides in the last 6 months have definitely what is the term? Taken the Constitution's name in vain. And both sides have their own definition of democracy. Both sides have their own definition of patriotism. Both sides have their own reading of the Constitution. And both sides believe that they speak very strongly for the Constitution, although there can't be anything more There can't be a valley deeper and wider than the interpretation of what free speech means, and what the Second Amendment means in terms of what a gun is and what the Second Amendment is. I dare say the left thinks that they're okay with guns as long as they are as long as they are for home defense and for hunting and plinking, and do not include any weapons of war. And any weapons of war probably precludes a magazine capacity of more than 10, or more than 5, or more than 7. Might preclude detachable magazines, like any type of autoloader pistol. Might only include shotguns, bolt action rifles, and wheel gun revolvers. And maybe that's it. Maybe that's all you need. Maybe that's all you need is bolt action rifles, either breech load, over under, side by side, or pump action shotguns, and or and no semi-automatic magazine fed, detachable magazine fed pistols, only revolvers. And that's it. Not even any semi-automatic guns, because semi-automatic guns means that every time you pull the trigger, a bullet fires. And since the only real difference between an AR-15 and any other type of sporting rifle, such as the very innocuous 22 caliber Ruger, Charger, or what is it called, Ruger 1022, is the fact that the 1022, is it that right? Doesn't look like an assault rifle. So by that terminology, with detachable box magazine, even a mini 14 with wooden furniture, wouldn't, because it's the same thing, right? It's the same thing. It fires 223, and it has a removable box magazine that can carry 5, 10, and 20, and 30 rounds. So there's so much of a gap between the way things are interpreted. So I don't know. I've been talking forever, and I think that's enough for now. What do you think? Let me know, and I'll talk to you soon. Welcome back. This is episode 30 of Chris Abraham's Chris Cass Rant. I hope that made sense. It felt like I was a little bit passionate about that. I don't know how this is going to end up. I know that one of my friends moved to Barbados for the next few, for the next year. I know that a lot of people have moved out of their cities who can. I know a lot of my friends are asking me about guns, or are curious about, are intending to be away from their city of choice in the United States for the duration of the election. I know that my liberal friends are asking me about guns, and that's it. I have friends in Europe. One of my ex-girlfriends, one of my favorite ex-girlfriends from right after college, I don't know, she's always been mysterious in terms of where she lives and anything, believing that maybe I don't know, stalk her or something. But I don't have any clue. I haven't any clue where in the world she lives, but she might live in a German-speaking country now because she just sent me an email saying, I'm scared about the pandemic. Everything's shut down here. And here's another thing that, didn't happen during the actual Civil War or even the Revolutionary War in a real way. The existential threat, the feeling of existential threat, the feeling of climate change threat, the feeling of everybody dying in 11.8 years, the feeling of there being a an impending quickly coming towards us, quote, in our time, extinction event that is going to cascade not only the lower animals but even humans into a death spiral that from which we can never recover. And I would say that that for the first time in history that both the science-based liberal elite and the troglodyte guns and Bible clutching troglodytes from the right are now sharing the apocalyptic existential threat fear, or the right fears that every, for the last 2,000 years, every generation is like, this is when the rapture's going to come. This is when the Lord is going to take me. This is when all the plagues are going to come upon us, and we will, and the apocalypse will happen, and 1,000 years of this, and a and taken to heaven, and dead people, and the devil, and all this other stuff is going to happen. And on the other hand, now you have now the Christian Catholic messianic playbook, even the Zionist Jewish playbook, has been stolen by the empirical science-based intelligentsia, because they've been using the same exact final book of the Christian Bible, the Revelations. They're using the same tactic to gin up ecstatic fervor for the end is nigh in a climate change kind of way. I mean, it's not, if it's not completely obvious to you that you're being manipulated into some sort of science-based death cult, I don't know what I'm going to need to do to convince you otherwise. The good news is that we won't really won't have to deal with it because every young person who believes that the world is going to die in 11 years is going to succumb to terrible cancers and suicide. Because sickliness and irritable bowel disorder and just like the most that their body will begin to consume themselves because we see the same thing, people who believe that they're desperate sinners. And here's another thing. If there are enough people who believe that they can kickstart, if they can go ahead and kill 1,000 to save a million, or kill a million to save a billion, or kill a billion to save 7 billion, they'll do it. Like you can be pushed enough that you believe that you are doing the hard work. This has been shown innumerable times with regards to extremism, in religion, with religious fervor, right? There's a belief that evangelicals believe that they could kickstart the second coming by poking their fingers into the Holy Land of Israel. There are people now who we used to call eco-terrorists, but are now, are now earth savers, and they will create a Green New Deal. And I'm not saying that that coronavirus is the best thing to ever happen to the climate change environmental world because I love me some restored order in the world, but it's was perfect. I mean, here's the most poignant and beautiful example of how self-healing Gaia is. The moment She, gets some time to recover. You can't gallop a horse for very long before you kill that horse. You need to rest it and water it. You need to give a little bit of a care, love, attention, and you need it to recover so that then it can go out galloping again. So we have many examples of during the coronavirus shutdown of holes in the ozone layer repairing themselves, and various and sundry populations of feral animals recovering, and even fisheries recovering, and all kinds of stuff. Life desperately wants to live, right? And so that is a case study, man. It's going to happen more. Whether or not you feel like the number of deaths, right? Like I said, over 2.8 million people died in 2018, just naturally in the United States. That's not across the world. This is a great case study that, if you're able to cook the books and make it look like there's a pandemic, when all you're really doing is tracking normal trends in death, bringing attention to America's sickly population, because we don't take care of ourselves. We don't have health care. We have responses to sickness, and all you have to do is cook the books, gin it up a little bit, and say, look, 2.8 million Americans died in 2020, and it was all COVID. And people will freaking freak out, and then they'll stay inside, they won't travel, and the world will be able to recover a little bit. I mean, it's so brilliant that I would have done it myself if I had the wherewithal, if I had the vision, if I had the boldness, if I had the audacity, if I had the chutzpah, and if I had a medical slash a PhD in anything remotely that would give me the credence of being able to spout my mouth off outside of this self-indulgent and dangerous podcast. Anyway, I guess this is going to be a two-segment. this is going to be long. Anyway, love you guys if you're still listening, and I'll talk to you soon. I guess we're going to take another break before we will actually go into closing. Bye-bye. Welcome back to Chris Cast. My name's Chris Abraham. It's episode 30 on the 31st of October, Halloween. I would sing you the lyrics to Every Day is Halloween, but I don't have to. I think by the Ministry, because this is not every day. This is actually Halloween. So happy Halloween, All Hallows Eve. I believe this is the weekend, back in 2004, 2005, that I became a Freemason. On one weekend, I became a third degree Master Mason. Oh, wow. So it's my. Hey guys, it's my 15th anniversary of being a Freemason. So there's that. Mazel tov. Anyway, you can reach me at chrisabraham.com. You can reach me on Twitter at chrisabraham. You can email me at chris@abraham.su. That also goes to my website, abraham.su. Quick story. The Soviet Union top-level domain is still available for purchase or registration. I go to inwx.com, and I bought abraham.su so I could get the last name Abraham, because since Abraham is a major thing for Jews, Christians, and Muslims, I had to go to the godless Soviet Union to get Abraham. So I love that very much. You can text me at +1 202-352-5051. You can call me there, but I won't answer unless I know you're there. So I guess you could contact me for a call, calendly.com/chrisabraham, I believe, /15, for 15 minutes. I am at Chris Abraham on Instagram. I am linkedin.com/in/Chris Abraham. My company is Gerris, GERR.IS, which is also a fabulous domain name that I love. What else? I am Chris at CHRIS at No Agenda Social. I am a huge fanboy of No Agenda Show with Adam Curry and John C. Dvorak. Do not paint me into a corner for that. I've been listening to them since 20 for I've been listening to them for 13, officially 13 years. And there we have it. I guess that is it. Did I miss any social media? Twitter at Chris Abraham, Instagram at Chris Abraham. You can find me at Chris Abraham on Facebook.com/Chris Abraham. You can follow me there. And that's it. I hope you guys had a great time. Don't forget to like and subscribe and share with your friends. And also, I guess, go over to like your favorite index and comment and give me 5 stars and 12 stars and thumbs up and all those other things so maybe we can find more people to listen to my self-indulgent drivel. Love you guys. Talk to you soon. Mahalo. Bye.
Yay!